This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and here are a few of the stories NPR News is working on this afternoon. A bomb exploded outside a Tel Aviv army base today. At least 4 are dead, 30 injured. No one has claimed responsibility for the bombing, at least not yet. It comes 2 days after the nomination of Ahmed Korea as Palestinian prime minister. Republican Peter Uberoth is withdrawing from the California gubernatorial recall election. The former Major League Baseball commissioner announced his decision earlier this afternoon, and those stories will be coming up later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. Tomorrow, Talk of the Nation is in Phoenix, Arizona for a special broadcast from our member station there, KJZZ, and we'll be talking about the politics of the Latino vote. From the California recall to presidential campaigns, politicians around the country are trying to woo this newly powerful group of voters, so tune in for that tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. The Supreme Court will not be involved in the other celebrated First Amendment case of this year. Fox News has decided not to pursue its case against Al Franken. Several years ago, Fox got a copyright for its Fair and Balanced slogan and took umbrage at the title of Franken's new book, Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them a Fair and Balanced Look at the Right. The suit was dismissed as utterly without merit, and amid a publicity bonanza, Al Franken has been laughing all the way to the bestseller list. Fortunately, our New York bureau is located just a chuckle or two away, but Al Franken, I understand you're only one laugh towards our bureau now.
Well, I'm closing in. I got stuck in traffic, and but I can hear you.
So you're not big-timing us. You were just stuck in traffic.
I was, I'm not big-timing you.
Where are you exactly?
I big-time, Fox. But not NPR.
All right. If you'd like to join our conversation with Al Franken at the moment on the cell phone, hopefully as he makes his way to 801 Second Avenue, our bureau will get him into the studio and have better quality. But in any case, you can join our conversation by calling 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can also zap us an email if you'd like, and the address there is totn@npr.org. And, through the course of this controversy with Fox, Al Franken, you seem to have acquired a new first name. You're now Satirist Al Franken.
I am. I've always been a satirist.
But you're a comedian,
actually,
Al Franken.
Bill O'Reilly said that if Al Franken's a satirist, then I'm Jennifer Lopez. So I think that he may be surprised when Ben Affleck asks him to do something later.
I think we
know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
I think we'd better leave that right there, Al.
We're getting a little closer. We're at 48th and 2nd.
48th and 2nd. Uh-huh.
This is very exciting. We almost had an accident because we're trying to get to you. But keep going. And now my real worry is when I get in the elevator, what's going to happen?
We'll have to find out when that happens.
Find out when that happens. Then you can... My advice would be just keep repeating the number.
That's...
Fall in.
That's what we normally do here when we're trying to kill time, Al. Now, remind us how this book got started. You published a book some years ago about Rush Limbaugh being a big fat idiot that did awfully well. But you wrote a bunch of other things since then.
Yeah, this is Rush Limbaugh's Big Fat Idiot and Other Observations was wrote in 95 and it came out in early 96. And it was about sort of the Gingrich Revolution. And it was making me angry, and Rush was the mouthpiece for that. So now I'm mad at Bush, and this right wing media has just gotten bigger, and so I just thought I'd write a book that about stuff that made me angry. Now I'm at the right, I'm at some place. I'm close. Okay.
Which side of Second Avenue are you on, Al?
Yes. I just didn't see NPR on the building.
We're between...
I guess you're not a mammoth corporation. I think I'm at the right place.
801 Second Avenue?
Yeah, I'm in the right place.
Okay.
I recognize it. I've been here for other NPR shows.
At least when I worked there, it used to be called the Crystal Building. I don't know if it's called that anymore.
Well, no, it isn't. it's now Universal Media.
It's Universal Media. If we're a branch of Universal Media, so far that slipped underneath my radar anyway.
Yeah.
Are you in the lobby now?
I'm in the lobby now. The elevator's about to open, so if you lose me, it's because I'm in the elevator. I've stepped into the elevator. Now I'm going to press 7.
That's
the exciting radio.
7th floor is where we're located.
Yes. Yeah, so...
Now, in the old days, before this became a fancy building, when it was just the Crystal Building, you would, you'd pass the offices of several pornographers and the Office of Tibet and the Kuwaiti Embassy to the United Nations on your way to our office.
Okay, now we're beginning to break up, so now might be a good time to repeat the number.
Which is 800...
Callers to come in, calling.
800-989-825... Well, let's see if we can get a call to you in the elevator. David joins us on the line from Denver, Colorado.
Can you hear me, Al?
I can. In fact, I'm switching now from... I'm in the studio. I don't know if the headphones work, but we'll see. Hold on.
Hey, I'm a huge fan, Al. Listen.
Okay, I'm in the studio. Does that sound better?
It sounds great. And David was just telling us what a big fan he is.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Al, you know, you've seen Wally George and all of the, you know, Rush and all of the different right-wingers that have come along through the years.
Yeah.
And I want to know why it is that what you think, why right-wing talk shows and right-wing television shows are so much more entertaining than left-wing shows.
Well, I think that demagoguery is entertaining. And their value added, of course, is lying. So I may very well be doing a talk show, a radio talk show, starting in January.
I've heard that rumor, and I hope it's true.
One piece of advice, Al, it's usually good to show up on time.
I will do that. I pledge that if I do my daily three-hour show, that I will arrive at the studio well in advance and be actually prepared.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually think that there is some truth to the fact that people like O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, their value added is not caring particularly about the truth. And I think it's and bluster, very bullying is a nice tactic that O'Reilly's good at. Unless, and one thing I've discovered about bullies is that if you push back, they say, shut up, sue them, sue him, Fox. Oh. It's like, you know, it's like the Jonathan Alter said this of Newsweek, said that it's like the bully on the playground who hits every kid, and then finally some kid comes up and hits him back, and he goes, teacher, sue him.
Well, I hope you're on the show. Have you been talking to any of the networks? Is there any particular network that you've been talking to?
Well, this is radio, so we may be putting together our own liberal network, because it's hard to do progressive talk between, I mean, the whole talk show, radio talk landscape is right wing. So
sure.
You can't put me on after Sean Hannity or put me on after Rush, because it's sort of like putting on, you know, classic rock after country western.
Sure.
It's a different format. So we're exploring that, and but I've talked to a lot of different people who want me to do this, but I just got to figure out the best way to get to the most people.
Well, we figured, Al, after you get your royalty checks from all the publicity Fox gave you, you can buy Fox at this point.
They really helped me out. You know, people ask me how they were that stupid. It's I hypnotized them. At the radio and TV correspondents dinner, I hypnotized Ailes. I said, you will sue me. And when I snap my fingers, you will forget that I said this.
Jedi then, mind trick. It was a Jedi mind trick.
Something like that. Well, anyway, but the book is more than about foxes, of course. It's about how this right-wing media is a shill for this right-wing administration that it has been lying to us since Bush started running for office in 1999.
David, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you both.
And we're speaking with Al Franken about his new book. He's in our New York bureau now, by the way. His new book is Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them a Fair and Balanced Look at the Right. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Al Franken, one thing that characterizes a lot of the shows you mentioned, Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly, is a sense on the political right of grievance, that they were the ones who were overlooked and bullied for so many years. And, mm-hmm. and in a way, that's how they got started.
And they've been trying to sell this for 20, 30 years, that there is a liberal bias to the media and to the mainstream media. And if you look... And they'll call NPR, like, incredibly liberal.
No.
Yes. And for example, O'Reilly, Here's one of O'Reilly's lies. He said that he was a registered independent when he started at Fox News Channel. And it turned out he wasn't. And Mike Pesca from NPR went out to Nassau County and got his registration. It turns out he was a registered Republican. And then, of course, it wasn't enough for O'Reilly to lie. He had to lie about the lie and said that he didn't mark Republican, that they just assigned him Republican as a mistake, and also there was no place to mark independent. Well, unfortunately, Mike Pesca produced the actual voter registration form, and he had marked Republican, and there was a place to mark for no for independent. So these guys, anyway, so he started to attack NPR, mm-hmm. of course.
Yeah.
And NPR, you see, the difference between liberals and conservatives, I think, is that conservatives want ammunition, and liberals want information. So liberals tend to turn to like NPR. So you know what? When 9/11 happened, NPR had more foreign correspondents than any other news organization in the United States, and that's because and that's why people listen to NPR, because they know that they can hear a report from the BBC in Afghanistan, from a BBC reporter, and they can hear actually, you know, whether the Taliban is moving back in Afghanistan because we haven't put enough money and troops in there. And they can hear things like that. When, Republicans just want to hear Rush Limbaugh rail at Hillary. And, you know, I have a chapter on the Wellstone Memorial in which he just lied up and down about that. And the whole right did. There was no memorializing. None. None whatsoever. Where was the grief? And these guys are bad people. They're bad, bad guys. And so in the book, I pretty much, that's what I'm doing. And I got mad. I got mad again, and so I wrote this book. And it's doing very, very well. It's number one on the New York Times bestseller list. They just went back to press again. They're up to like 825,000 or 24,000 copies.
In terms of a fact check, NPR may have more overseas correspondents than any other broadcast outlet. I'm not positive about that, but that's possible. I don't think than the New York Times. But anyway,
yeah. Okay,
let's get to another caller. Tammy joins us on the line from St. Louis.
Hi.
I'm not saying that they do now, but they did at the time. But yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Tammy.
Hi, big fan.
Thank you.
I would like for your comments on two points. One being this phenomenon I seem to be observing, which is we get our fair and balanced reporting from comedians like yourself and Bill Maher, and getting a real critique of this administration's performance, why that might be. And the other point being, if in fact the media in general is so liberal, as the conservatives are always crying, then point to where the liberal version of Rush Limbaugh might be appearing.
Well, that might be Al Franken, but go ahead, Al.
Well, as far as the second point, I do go into this. I do debunk the myth of the liberal media, which the Republicans and the conservatives have been railing about for years. If you look at what happened in the 2000 race, it's ridiculous. Gore was treated much worse, and this is in the Pew studies, and got much more negative coverage than Bush did. I point to an example in the book where in the first debate, Gore made a mistake. He said that he had gone down to Texas with FEMA director James Lee Witt to a disaster site. It turns out he had not gone to that disaster with James Lee Witt. He had gone to 17 other disasters with James Lee Witt during the Clinton-Gore administration, just not that one. The press jumped all over him. It was as if James Lee Witt was the most popular man in America, and Gore was lying just to get some of that James Lee Witt magic to rub off on him. The same debate, Bush says about his tax cut, by far the vast majority of the help goes to those at the bottom. By far, the vast majority of the help goes to those at the bottom. Now, the bottom 60% got 14.7% of that tax cut. This is a much, much more important misrepresentation than whether that was one of the 17 disasters that he went to. But the press's attitude, the press did nothing about it. And the attitude was about Bush, I think, was leave him alone. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. Leave him alone.
Tammy, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks very much for the call. Al Franken, our man on the street. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Al Franken's new book is Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them. In Washington, we'll be in Phoenix tomorrow, by the way. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.